What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
So low.
Was it? But you did it.
I knew it would be. I just wanted to try it.
But you did it.
It must have taken you no effort to get up to your highest of heights.
It really didn't. I mean,
dance and stuff?
Dance and stuff. I really am, you know.
I was like, arr, arr, arr.
She looks like a tenor, but she's not. She's a baritone bass. Mm-hmm. She's a deeper queen.
Mm-hmm.
A darker shade of pale. Is that a song? Oh, no, whiter shade of pale.
I've still never heard it, whether it's darker or whiter.
What, you're checking your texts already?
Well, I'm flying to Chicago today, so I just have to make sure there's no complications.
Why are you flying to Chicago?
I have fittings for the Hubbard Street Dance Company for a new Kyle Abraham piece, but I'm going a day early to see a Lara Lubavitch celebration performance that's happening at the Harris Theater.
I knew that Lara was in. I was literally about to say, I pictured you in Lara's old apartment that he sold for some reason.
I've known moment. About this show for a while, and so I purposely arranged to do the fittings now so I could see the show. So I could be there to support Lara.
That's so great. Do you know what Lara pieces they're doing?
I do.
I do.
So the Joffrey Ballet Company is doing an excerpt from Othello, a pas de deux with Fabrice Calmels and...
Tallest person in the world.
Tallest ballet dancer in the world, Guinness. Wait, before I go on. Yeah. I actually saw the tallest person I've ever seen in real life yesterday.
Did you get to talk to this person? Or was this just outside?
I was like a staring child.
Uh-huh.
People in New York are incredible in the way they can be unfazed.
Well, look, honey.
Madonna could walk down the middle of the street. People would be like,
maybe. You know?
Yeah.
Or they'd be like, oh God, I hope I get my subway.
Exactly. You know, they'd rush on by.
Yeah. They'd be like, out of my way.
But I would watch this person cross the street towards me and I was unable to look away because he lived in a different realm of physics than we do. Like, you know how when in the movies you see a giant walk and they move kind of slowly?
Right, right.
And they seem to have like a great deal more gravity.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah, like right. The earth takes more of an impact.
Right.
It was that. I was like, oh, wow. Like that.
What were they wearing?
Sweatpants and like a sweatshirt and...
Maybe they were a basketball player.
I don't know. They didn't look particularly agile, but maybe they're the kind of basketball player that just kind of like stands near the hoop and just like drops it in.
Like someone passes it to them and they just put their arm up and
literally puts their arm up.
Wow.
And drops it in.
Was he handsome?
Sure, yeah. I think. Wow. I mean, when you're that tall, it's hard to really clock a lot of detail when you're just like, whoa, 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 whoa. he looked actually a lot like that man in the Guinness Book of World Records whose name was like Waldo something. I remember looking at him a lot because I used to love that book when I was little.
I loved the Guinness Book of World Records.
Especially Physical Anomalies.
Recently I was just thinking about, I think there was a woman who had like strongest hair and I... Did you just almost spit out your coffee
ever? What was her test? Did she have to pull weight?
I feel like it was like her hair. I don't think this could be real.
She pulled a car?
It was wrapped around a car.
Uh-huh.
Tied, and like she was supporting it somehow. But I was like, there must have been a clamp. There must have been various clamps so it didn't just like
slip off.
Or like yank her head off of her cervical spine.
Well, that's the whole thing. Her hair is just so very strong. I mean, that's a Guinness record they shouldn't do because how can you prove it? It's like, prove it.
Well, I think her hair was tied around or, you know.
But also are like several people coming forward and be like, I think I might have the strongest hair.
Yeah, they are. They're coming forward and being like, I think I have the strongest hair.
My favorites were obviously longest fingernails.
I remember that.
Incredible.
Really?
Tallest person. Uh-huh. Smallest waist.
Oh.
Yeah.
My favorite Guinness Book of World Records was, you know, strong as hair. I really just remember thinking about it and thinking about her with her hair tied around a car. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Right. I'll Google search it.
Like, when I went with James and Bella and co to that Regis, or what's it, Kelly and Ryan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good
Guinness
morning.
Guinness record, like 300 people stood on point or whatever.
Uh-huh. That was for the Guinness?
Uh-huh. The Guinness, people were all around it. Like, they monitoring it, like, to make sure nobody came off point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were, it was a fish. But I was like, this probably happens every day.
It was
day,
a
and,
fish.
Like, official.
Oh,
it was
it.
Literally a flounder.
Yeah, I was really like, it was a fish. Okay, got it.
I was like, I bet this happens in China every day in like huge ballet classes.
Oh, right.
I mean, maybe like,
everyone end point, right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
have you ever seen that like Swan Lake
on the head? Yeah.
Astonishing.
I know. They
shocking.
They ask really things shocking. Of themselves that we don't do in the West.
No, we're like, I'll have fries with that.
Exactly. And they're like, how long can I stand on the tip of my toe on your head?
I mean, wow.
Anyways, okay, so they're doing that excerpt from Othello. Uh-huh. Then the Ballet Austin is doing a beautiful dance called Dvorak Serenade.
Are any of your friends going to be there?
I'm sure Oliver will be there.
Oh, tell Oliver I say hi.
And then
Oliver Kramer, guest for Mamma Mae.
The Martha Graham Company is doing The Legend of Ten that I went in to help brush up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more. Oh, JoJo Alsbury, who we love. And
why hasn't he been on the podcast?
I mean,
whoa.
The day JoJo's on the podcast will be a day to remember and a day of joy for all.
JoJo, you're coming up. Okay.
No, he's not in New York much these days because he does a lot of work in Chicago because he is one of the rehearsal directors at Hubbard Street.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, JoJo, former Lara Lubavitch dancer and friend and what's that called? Co-worker.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing a piece called Little Rhapsodies with two other men from Hubbard Street Dance Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the four dances.
You and Russell didn't get asked to do that duet no, in your payettes.
I'm afraid not.
Aww.
Though that would have been a nice 3 minutes of the show.
Oh, it's a good dance.
Russell did mention to me the other day, he said, we didn't do that enough. And I said, you're right.
Welcome to a downtown dance.
Yeah, we didn't do that enough.
It's opposite of ballet, where you'll do that
again.
You know, hundreds of times in your lifetime.
But so anyways, I'm happy to be there to see the show. And then I get to also see my friend Jessica Tong, and I'm going to stay with her and her partner, husband, for a night. And then I'll do fittings on Monday and come home on Tuesday and get back in time for my drawing class.
That's right. You and Harriet are doing a drawing class.
No, we are.
Why?
We talk about it all the time because it's sort of important for people who deal with the human body and draw the human body on a regular basis to kind of keep that kind of practice going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing for me to continue drawing these sort of same two or three figures over and over that I can draw in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's for me, there's certain figures I just sort of like, schwa, schwa, schwa.
Mm-hmm.
But they're meaningless at this point. They don't, it's not like I'm really navigating gravity or the skeleton, et cetera. So I'm sorry, I'm clearing my throat.
Well, you had that apple. Remember
I
when
did.
You said there's nothing worse than a
cold apple,
on a cold day?
Yeah.
And it is
chilly.
It's cold.
It is chilled.
Is the heat on yet in your apartment?
No,
building?
No. I had a cold night.
We saw our landlord and he was like, heat'll be on October 15th. And I...
Coming right up.
I was up at Bard and where it is so cold and so rainy. It rained just...
Every day.
Yeah. It just... And I really thought... Everyone be careful because tomorrow it's like a high of 50.
Mm.
And then
isn't that nice?
Immediately began like pouring rain in the early morning on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cold. Everyone's sick.
Oh, I love that when you get to school and you've brought coats and scarves, but you have no use for them. And then suddenly you do.
I was well prepared because as you know, I run like the coldest woman in the
chilly
world.
Chihuahua.
Yeah,
I'm a chilly, chilly chihuahua.
Really a chill chihuahua.
Yeah.
It's really true. So you're going to get on a... Oh, and you just had another premiere of a costume. Misty Copeland.
Yes. I can tell you some about Fall for Dance. Why were we talking about... How did we get here?
Because you were checking your phone about your flight and then letting me know
about Chicago. We talked about
Chicago. Chicago. I once knew this... A friend of mine was... he was at RISD and him and some friends were like drinking in a stairwell. And this, it's like a party. It's at the dorm. It's like, but the concrete stairwell. And this girl at the top of the stairwell just went, Chicago, Chicago, and then fell backwards. All the way down the stairs.
Oh, no.
And fortunately, I think because she was drunk, she survived, you know?
Yeah.
It helped her.
It does help.
It helped her, like, remain elastic on her way down.
Soft and pliant.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
crumpled into a little bowling bowl. So at any rate, Harry and I are in a drawing class. Professor Steve
right,
Gaffney,
right, right.
We love
right,
him.
Right, right.
I was very frustrated during the last class, but it's fine. Anyways,
why were you frustrated?
I was there. One of our models did very, very dynamic poses that were very difficult to capture.
Was it Burr Johnson?
It wasn't, but it was like that. Very flexi yogic.
Amazing.
And I was like, I don't even know where to begin. You're literally upside down. So
then start with the hands.
Okay. So, from that class, we left a little early to go to a Fall for Dance premiere, which was Kyle's new solo for Misty Copeland mm-hmm. that we did the costume for. And we missed the first half of the program, but Misty was right after intermission. But the first half of the program was Hubbard Street doing a Crystal Pite duet and then something else that I don't know about. But I did see in the video there was a dancer with one leg and a crutch who was doing absolutely incredible things.
Hmm.
I couldn't believe
from
it.
From what company?
Something from Africa.
Okay.
South Africa?
I don't know. I didn't. I wasn't here last week.
I think that might be correct. You can read all about it in the New York Times. But Misty's solo is very beautiful. It was, I think, maybe 7 minutes, but like very quiet. I mean, the music wasn't so quiet, but it had a quiet feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't showy show. And we made a very sort of ephemeral costume for her, which in fact did, I guess, break a little bit during the second show, but we weren't there. So we're going to repair it.
Oh, wow.
But it's okay.
So ephemeral.
So ephemeral.
So ephemeral. It's...
I mean,
what was that like barely there? Wasn't there some kind of like... Barely there.
That's correct.
I can't remember what that was. It was like barely there something.
It is barely there, this costume, but, and it really won't be anywhere for very long.
Wow. We'll just have to remake it.
Yeah, it can definitely be remade.
Uh-huh.
Part of the magic of it is that
it disintegrates.
Yeah. No, kind of. It's so lightweight, and if you do any finishings on it, it starts to get stiffer. So you have to like do nothing.
Wow.
But it falls apart.
Wow.
So at any rate, that happened. And after her, Caleb Teicher had a group piece that followed Misty's piece that was so wonderful. I was dancing in my seat. I love, 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 loved it. And
we love him. We have to have him, another person.
I love him.
Yeah.
And I found him also very attractive in this dance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
he did a little pelvic gyration and I said, wow.
And, well, there you go.
Well,
you can let him know when he comes on the pod.
That's correct.
Unless he's listening right now. Hey, Caleb.
And then I saw one other Fall for Dance program. The Mark Morris Dance Company did a section from Mozart dances called 11. That was lovely. Miley Okamura is dancing with the company again, which is such a pleasure. On something else.
11. I know 11. I remember that.
Then there was a very bad dance by a French group that, like, it was a fusion of, like, contemporary and breakdancing.
Uh-huh.
But mostly it was just people, like, doing arm gestures and then some people spinning on their heads.
Uh-huh.
And the audience loved it.
Yeah.
They literally screamed.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I can remember being at one of those at a Fall for Dance and seeing something really just for show,
yeah.
just entertainment, and like people leapt to their feet more than one of the earlier more intelligent pieces on the program.
Oh.
But that's, you know, it's okay. I mean, I think that's the thing that we, it's this thing of how do we plan, or does, or is there a way for audiences to be educated that is a curatorial kind of thing as well as a choreographic to an extent. But yeah, I mean, entertainment queen.
Here's my question about Fall for Dance, which is Fall for Dance seems to try to balance out dances that are worthwhile and make, mm-hmm. might challenge a regular audience mm-hmm. a little bit more. And then dances that are comparable to what you might see on So You Think You Can Dance. In fact, I think one of the companies was from
So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah. Or like okay. You've Got Talent or one of those things. Uh-huh. And, this is my feeling about it. Mm. I don't think we should pander to audiences. I don't think these organizations should put out material that's not worthwhile, because the more you do that, the like less able audiences are to absorb good work. Mm. So I think people are going to come to Fall for Dance no matter what, because the tickets are cheap and it's like a fun event.
It's one of the very few experiences in New York.
So there's no reason.
Where you can go for affordable.
Yeah. So there's no reason that the entire program shouldn't be really excellent work.
Right.
And that doesn't mean it's not fun, because Caleb's work was excellent and so fun.
Right.
So to include these other works that sort of cheapen what dance can be, mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessary, and I think that there are more creative solutions.
Yeah, well, that doesn't sound like a question. That sounds like a statement, honey.
Did I say it was going to be a question?
I have a question, and then you gave a statement. And,
there you go.
And
there you have it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it is this thing of that. It around how do we educate our audiences? And I think
right.
there are choreographers who make work that is, as you just talked about, intelligent and entertaining.
Right.
And that you don't have to forsake entertainment with intelligence and formal rigor.
Right.
As well as a sense of dramaturgy and all the other sort of things that have, you know, of how dance has evolved.
Right.
So what you're talking about is how to continually encourage an audience to evolve with the form.
That's right.
And then, you know, but it is this thing of that people do feel sort of how like money traffics as much as it says, as much as I think producers can talk about, oh, I'm looking for the new. We certainly know of so many stories of them just doing the old. I mean, look at Ad Astra. I mean, we can look to big budget to see where it feels safer.
Do you want to hear something amazing?
What?
You're like, oh, that movie costs $80 million to make.
Uh-huh.
And it's not going to make its money back.
Wow.
Yeah.
even with Brad Pitt
even
on
with
the front
Brad
of it.
Pitt.
Which is interesting, because I bet in a way for them too, they were like, you know, in this really, we're going to have some real slow moments in this, which might be difficult for the audience. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, it's...
Rather than just let them be slow, we're going to fill it up with...
Talking.
Hideous voiceover.
With telling us exactly what's happening.
Literally explaining what is happening as we're watching it.
So in terms of, you know, it's... As I've said before, I have... When I had a meeting with a really incredible producer, and even he said, you know, art, money walks in and art walks out.
Mm-hmm.
It's this thing of how can money and producers also feel bold enough, and then how can they help educate the audience along with
right.
the progression of the form?
Mm-hmm.
So we shall, you know, it's a tale as old as time.
That's correct.
It's nothing new.
It won't change in our lifetime, I don't think.
Well, I think the thing that we'll see, and it's sort of what we're continually seeing, is how and where and when does it happen? And then it's really interesting. I think this thing that also feels really interesting is our institutions that proclaim themselves to be incredibly progressive and yet are choosing actually really pretty you know, conservative experimentalism. Mm-hmm. It really, we are in such conservative times, mm-hmm. And times where every idea seems to get weaponized, actually. And I think that creates its own sort of fear. And so then people feel safer with something conservative.
Right.
So it's, we can have a real return to, this is, you know, part of how nostalgia works. And when I think about dance and like return to just some real, let's just get back to postmodernism and feel safe.
Well, I did see another great piece of postmodernism last night.
Not that I don't love me some Pomo, because I sure do, honey.
Yeah, I saw Rosas Tonstrosas last night.
Mm-hmm. Another perfect dance.
Well, it's different. I mean, Faze or Faza is a show that is just so sort of succinct and pristine mm-hmm. in its concept.
Right.
And it was made prior to Rosas Tonstrosas, which is like a follow-up to that piece. And it was...
That makes sense.
Yeah. And it becomes this piece that's more human.
Right.
It's a little more experimental. Mm-hmm.
It's theatrical.
It's definitely more theatrical. Yeah. But it's really a wonderful night. And she doesn't pander to the audience in terms of when to end things, mm-hmm. or she really completes the idea and then some. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing show. It's an amazing show. And the performers were incredible. And the lighting and the stage, it was just all amazing. And I brought Maggie with me. Mm-hmm. She gave me a jade roller for my scars and stuff.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
And because I'm going to see Maggie Cloud now for acupuncture. And you all should. You all should. Look at her Instagram. She has it in her highlights, how you can see her for Instagram. And then, this is amazing. Well, the Secretary General of the UN was at the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was a security guard in the back. But he was apparently, Janet Wong tells me, very like cool about, she was like, do you need to be in a room before the show? And he was like, no, I don't care. Mm-hmm. He's just apparently a big fan of Anna Teresa.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, understandably, she's just...
She's good.
She's beyond. I mean, she's amazing. And anyways, I haven't loved all her work, but I value her. And I think all of her work is...
You did love that piece with the singing and the dancers.
I loved the Sunrise, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But this... Rosas Tonstrosas is a piece that I feel a comp course could spend an entire semester or year using as a curriculum to teach concepts of composition, like the fundamentals right. of composition, where you have like unison and then you have canon and then you have fugue and then you have like theme and variation and then you have all this spatial stuff. You could go on and on and on because it's all in there. Right. And it's all so beautifully executed right. and executed to completion. It's not
And also, like, if you're going to use a chair.
I mean, come on.
I mean, come on. And, you know, and when I think of other chair dances, especially ones post that, mm-hmm. and there are a lot, it's really like, she nailed it.
She nailed it. And I think Ohad nailed it with the... You know,
the one in the circle.
Yeah, the one in the arc.
Yeah.
Really, those are both iconic chair dances.
They really are.
And Lamentation.
It's not on a chair.
What's on a what box? On a bench?
A box.
It's still seated.
Yeah, but it's not a chair. It's like the idea of bringing, you know, it's this thing that you sit on every day. You know, it's a daily object. There's this quotidian thing of like, there's a chair on stage and then people are dancing with it, etc. in some sort of way. Oh, Cabaret. There's a great chair dance in that. Mein Air.
Oh. I tried watching that movie recently and I couldn't do it.
Read.
I'm sorry.
I'll just show you Mein Air
when
this is over because Mein Hair. It's really... Anyhow.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Anything, probably.
But the best... what was so great, was so great. So after the show, well, I had a really nice talk with, are you ready for this? Andrew Zox.
Your never wary boyfriend.
I know.
It'll never happen. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we went and had dinner together.
Just the two of you?
I went on a romantic, chilly night date with Andrew Zox.
Really completely straight. That's never going to happen. But beautiful guy who we've talked about on the podcast, who's beautiful inside and out.
Truly. And, wow, wow, wow.
He's not in LA.
He's lives in LA, but he's just here for the week. And we might be able to talk to him about movies next week on the podcast if he sticks around.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
It would have to be Tuesday. Maybe. We'll see. Okay. He's making movies. Are we going to be in them?
I doubt it, but yes.
We're going to be in them. It's so incredible.
Wow.
Hollywood.
But we had the best. We had pizza and we in a quiet restaurant and we talked and talked. And I couldn't believe I was looking at him for that long.
Did you tell him that?
Kind of, in many different ways. At one point I asked him a question of like, what's it like to like go through the world looking like that? But in a way, I think I phrased the question, I formatted it by saying like, did you ever use the way you look to manipulate a situation for your own kind of gain? And he was like, not really. He was like, it's why I like didn't really fit in as an actor. He was like, because I couldn't walk into the situations and ask them to like me because I looked the way I look. I was like, interesting.
But he was aware that he...
I think he gets it.
That people find him handsome.
Right. Like, also if you looked in the mirror, you know what I mean?
Well, people... dysmorphia is real.
That's true.
And people have all sorts of versions of how they perceive themselves to be.
Right.
And that can really change depending on how you think.
Anyways, my romantic night with Andrew Zox.
That's really
cool. I'll cherish it forever.
I'm so glad you got to have that chilly fall night.
It was so nice.
If only you two could have taken a walk by the river and...
Basically, we walked from Nyla down to, you know, my house.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you said, would you like to come in?
I
he was
did
like,
not.
That's all right.
I
Wade.
Did not.
You're like, one moment. You run upstairs and put Chinese lanterns on all the bulbs.
That's right. I also, I like
Vaseline on your face.
The floors, wash the windows.
Exactly.
I finished the last episode of The Politician. And then
don't tell me about it because I haven't seen it.
It really goes somewhere.
That's what Jeremy said. He was like, they really made choices.
Because they set themselves up for a full second season about something entirely different.
Sure.
And then...
it's nice to have a plot about something entirely different. That's kind of Dynasty in a way.
Yeah. And then I was still slightly awake, so I started Great British Baking Show and I fell asleep. But so I turned off the TV and went straight to bed. But this morning I finished Great British when I ended up not going to jump rope because of the trains.
Mm.
Are you caught up on Great British?
I'm not. I really, when I am teaching, I literally, it's really the full and full time. It's really, I can't watch anything. I can't talk to anyone on the phone. It's like, I have to just keep going. It's a real like teaching, meeting with students, emails.
Dinner.
Hopefully a meal happens. It was very, Jen Kidwell, who I love, who's a really incredible performance maker, and has a show that, with Scott, her collaborator, that is called Underground Railroad Game, where they play, like middle school teachers who, put on a show to talk about the Underground Railroad, and it devolves, it gets intense, and they're going to be showing it at Bard next week. So she was upstate, just giving us a kind of overview of herself and her work, and to give the first sort of idea about herself, she played Jam Tomorrow, Jam Yesterday. And I lost my mind. We're both the same age. It was such a...
Was she like,
and we've known
me.
Each other for...
This is why I am who I am.
And I really was like, this is so deep. This is so deep. It really... I deeply want us to play Carol Channing together. It would be a real...
I'm not Alice.
Oh, no, me and Jen would play Carol Channing together.
Oh, you and
together.
She. I see.
I mean, in our relationship, I'm definitely Carol Channing, mm-hmm. and you are the girl.
Yes.
You're the girl who plays Alice.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, actually, who you would be is I would be Carol Channing, and you would be Stockard Channing, who plays the Red Queen.
Oh, interesting. I don't remember.
She's like, we have to go faster to get nowhere. But she's decisive. She's more of a Sagittarius.
She's not around much these days.
Whereas the White Queen is a real Aquarius.
Stockard Channing. Wait, where were we?
You were watching TV.
Politician. Great British. So remember I showed you that photograph, which included the three boys and the teacher girl? Now, the, triad between these three boys on the show is, becoming more and more clear. They're always together. They're holding hands during, judgments. It's really, it's a Great British Baking Show gay threesome.
Wow.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
Who are the three again?
Henry. And the other two. Lips and Youngman.
Lips and glasses. Henry Lips and Glasses. That's a good... Make that piece read. Henry Lips and Glasses is... I would go see that show.
I'm curious how this will all play out for them. There's someone's feelings are going to get hurt.
Maybe not. It's 2019. We're in incredibly conservative times and yet in other ways, hopefully progressive.
Right.
And the children do seem to be the future.
Yes.
As the song goes.
And two of them are children. One of them is not.
Right. But yeah, Glasses and Henry are...
Children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Full children.
When are you going to bring out your winter coat? I was thinking about that recently. I was like, is it time?
I think I need a new one, to be honest. My winter coat, which you used to have as well in black from Muji.
That is literally, it's like out of Dickens. It's so threadbare. It is that,
yes.
It was always a thin coat. I was always like, I remember you got it and I thought, oh, I like that. And I got it and immediately I was like, not a winter coat.
Do you know that I've been wearing it for winter coat since then? I've never had a different one.
That reed, it is so thin.
Well,
it's just like
the cuffs are now completely spilling out.
Uh-huh.
It's over.
Right.
So I'm
Bob Cratchit.
Yeah, that's me. Uh-huh. I'm thinking about
you need a big puffy coat.
A puffy coat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, do it. Get a big rainbow bright puffy coat, girl.
I'm ready. I wanna be very comfortable all the time.
I mean, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a big, I would love a big sleeping bag puffy coat. You know, that you see that goes to maybe the calves or maybe the ankles.
Which my mom famously invented.
What?
Yeah.
Have you told that story?
To you, I'm sure.
What is it?
That my mom used to work with a coat and bag maker in the 70s in New York. Uh-huh. And she developed the first sleeping bag coat. That's how the story goes, which is basically, you know, the floor length or to the ankles.
How did she draw coat. It? She was like, this would be a good coat.
I think she probably described it to sample makers. And she said, you're going to do a channeled downfilled coat and make it really long.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, who knows? It was a strange time. But that's how that is what I've heard from my mom and people around her, that she is the OG sleeping bag coat.
I need to find a sleeping bag coat. A long, shiny black.
Shiny.
I love it. I think I'm into shiny.
Okay.
I think it's interesting. It could be a thing.
Last time I was in China, everybody was wearing lacquered puffy coats.
Mm-hmm, that's what I want.
Lacquered.
That sounds good.
They weren't just shiny. They were literally mirror glaze.
Mm-hmm. Reflective.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Reflect the negativity. Awa.
Away. What else can I tell you?
Have you had any dreams?
I did have a dream yesterday morning where I always have, like, the part of the dream I can remember is always right before I wake up, obviously.
Yeah.
So right before I woke up.
Iconic.
That's iconically when I have my best drums. So I was waking up and in the dream, I was also waking up in my bed. And I was in a situation where there were other people in the house. I think it was like a sleepover party or something. And I took out foundation as soon as I woke up, and it was a foundation. I guess I was excited about it. Like, I'd never had it on my face. Mm-hmm. And I applied it with my fingers. Mm-hmm. And I applied it, like, very gently. And I applied it until I could feel no little bits of debris or anything rough. And mm-hmm. I thought, I look amazing. Though I hadn't seen myself in a mirror. And, but then I started to have these feelings of, like, are people going to think I'm crazy that I'm getting out of bed with
foundation,
flawless skin.
Foundation on. Uh-huh.
And then I woke up.
That was the dream. My last dream before waking up today was that I went back to Interlaken.
Wow.
As a student. Like, wow. To study acting.
How'd it go?
I was like...
Were you excited?
It was like I had a movie coming up, and I was like, I'm going to go. I should, like... just tune up a bit on some acting. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Interlaken and go there for a year.
Yeah, just learn something. That sounds nice.
It was weird. It was weird. It was a definite feeling of like, oh, I'm here, but this isn't right.
Do you see there's been some blowback on Facebook because alumni...
I haven't been on Facebook in a really long time. Alumni found out
that they've like, they've stopped... uniforms at Interlaken of any kind.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Uniforms are done.
And a lot of alumni are like, no.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, the uniform was like part of why my experience was so positive, because there wasn't like...
Ah, interesting.
Any kind of like insecurity to be had about like,
what I was wearing.
Right. And I understand that. I also
there is something to that.
I also love the ease of a uniform. My God, yeah. Just like pile of navy blue pants.
Well, also it's a thing of like, let's not think about what you're wearing or how you're trying to promote yourself or disappear.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think what we wear is frequently a thing of how we're either trying to promote or disappear. And
there's already so much of like self-expression at Interlaken through your medium, through your lessons. So I feel like
you understand the uniform in this context.
Yeah.
At first I was like, oh, whatever. But I do think there is, we know that, I mean, I was a student who went on scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not... Also, this thing of compare and like...
Right. It veils people's sort of family status, mm-hmm. et cetera. So, mm-hmm. And I mean, I grew up in uniform, so I loved it. I mean, it was hard for me to not wear uniform.
I mean, I kind of like transitioned my life back to a uniform.
Oh, life is a uniform.
If I just get all black, then I don't have to think about it. And it just is going to go on, and I'm going to go do my tape. My mind's so busy.
There's
so
many things to do. Do you have a monologue you could do right now while I go to the bathroom?
No, but I could just make one up.
Okay. I'll be back in a minute.
I'm going to make up a monologue as if I'm, what's her name? I can't remember it. I played her when I did Suddenly Last Summer, and I just posted a photo of Elizabeth Taylor as her from Suddenly Last Summer when she's talking about... how her cousin Sebastian was eaten. And her name is... I wish I could remember. I just can't do it. Well, the last thing I recall was that cousin Sebastian said, let's go to Cabeza de Lobo. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's an island that means... mouth of the wolf. And I said, I don't want to go there. That sounds like a terrible place to go. Why don't we go somewhere beautiful like Cancun, I hear it's beautiful there, or maybe we could go to Australia. I heard Melbourne is simply gorgeous and that people want to live there because there's good arts funding and people have a sense of humor. And he said, no, we're gonna go to Cabeza de Lobo. So we went to Cabeza de Lobo and Cousin Sebastian spent a lot of time on the beach. I saw him talking to many mans, and he would say, Catherine, that's my name, Catherine, come down here to the beach. And I would say, no, I don't want to go to the beach. I'm trying. I don't like when I put this sunscreen on because I'm trying not to use that chemical sunscreen. So I use this zinc sunscreen and it clogs my pores. It makes my eczema come out. And he said, Catherine, come down here just for 15 minutes. You won't get a burn. So I went down just for 15 minutes and he bought me this swimsuit that was white. It was a scandal to the Jaybirds. And he dragged me into the water and I went, oh no, don't drag me into the water. When I come out, everyone will be able to see my nipples. And indeed, everyone could see my nipples as if I was wearing just a napkin. And then I said, I don't like this. And I went to a restaurant. So I went up to a restaurant and Sebastian went and just spent more time at the beach. Well, the beach went on longer and longer until one day we were at a restaurant. These boys came asking for money. And I said, why are they asking for money? And he said, because they give me sexual favors. And I said, well, that you should pay up for that. Who do you think you are? That's capitalism to not pay them. And when they've given you sexual favors, sex work is work. And he said, I'm not gonna do it. And then he just got up from the table and he ran. Well, these men, they chased him and they were playing on tin cans and harpsichords and all sorts of little instruments they brought along. I don't know where that harpsichord came from, but it was really something to watch them roll it on a dolly behind him while they chased him. And they chased him all the way up to the top of this mountain. And then I heard Cousin Sebastian scream. He screamed just once and they were on him. And I screamed too. I screamed because when I saw what they were doing, well, they were eating him! That's it. That was mine.
Wow. Congrats. That was really good.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
I do definitely feel like an amalgamation of many of the Tennessee Williams heroines.
I know. That's your go-to for sure. For sure.
Well, it's really kind of, it's me. It's really, really get it. Really get it. If you could talk to one dead person.
Oh boy.
Who would it be?
Dead people. Dead people. Who's dead?
You could talk to one dead person and, you know, get to, like, hang out with them, ask them stuff, da-da-da.
Interesting. Well, I feel like I'd have a really weird talk with my mom's father, who I never met.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because he was a real piece of work, as it turns out.
Right.
But I'd have some questions for him. I did talk to him on the phone one time, and he said, have a blessed day.
Oh, that's nice.
I thought, well, is it?
Yeah. Have a blessed day.
All right.
Okay. If it's one non-famous person, then yeah, it'd be my grandmother for sure. Okay. Now one dead famous, like a dead famous person.
I don't know. I never knew any of them before. So like, I don't have anything to say to them.
You don't want to like ask Balanchine or Robbins or Cunningham.
I forgot about dance.
Do you know what I mean?
All I could do, I was like, Mr. Rogers? What? Balanchine. I don't want to talk to Cunningham on the phone because he would absolutely.
This isn't person. This is a meal.
Oh, it's a
Sue Wen thing. Still exists and you go there.
Interesting. I wouldn't, I guess, this is so stupid.
Taking too long, Tennessee Williams. That's who I'd want to, that's who I'd want to talk to today.
I would maybe talk to, like, Maria Tallchief to be like, did you guys have sex?
Oh, wow.
Because, like, in my mind, I really don't believe that Balanchine had sex with women. I think he just collected them as wives and dolls. Huh. But I don't know. And no one else writes about that, but also no one writes about anything sexual about him, except for that, like, people do write about how their, like, relationships to him in the studio were very, like, physically gratifying.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'm like, what? There's no kids, obviously. Uh-huh. And was there sex? I don't know. All of his wives are now dead.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, I mean... And maybe one day, Reed, may your sleuthing give an answer.
It won't. No one wants to tell me anything. Are you going to a show?
I'm going to see Underground Railroad game this week.
And do you want to go to the ballet next weekend? Because they're doing summer space instead of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, let's go Saturday afternoon. Let's try to figure that out.
Yes, Saturday. Yeah, I can do Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
So at Saturday at 11, and I'm doing the tour of the NYPL 70th.
Oh, can I go to your tour?
Sure. I mean, it's not going to be. I'm asked to. Jeremy and I are asked to speak to what ephemera we
care about.
We relate to. So
that's fun.
One specific piece of ephemera.
I have one
specific piece of ephemera that is in that collection. And I know that I will be talking about it because I relate to its tragedy and its pathos.
Uh-huh. Well, I want to come and watch that. I feel like they'd allow me to do that.
Yeah, it's at 11. It's at...
Well, I do have jump ropes.
So I get it.
I might miss it.
And
I haven't been to jump rope in 2 weeks, you guys. So, oof.
Wow, girl.
But I did swim yesterday.
Good.
I did do Cunningham Haunts.
Good.
So it's okay. And I lost weight.
Yeah. I mean,
by not eating half a pound of pasta every night. That's my advice.
Yeah.
If you want to lose weight, just don't eat a half a pound of pasta every night.
Sure. Sure.
Trader Joe's now has these, what are, like, sprouted multigrain flatbread pizza crusts that are, they're really tortillas when you, at the end of the day, they're just tortillas.
Uh-huh.
And I've made some pizzas on them this week, and it was really nice.
And you liked it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the crust is, like, who cares? Just a conduit for the toppings.
Right. Right. That's why, you know, I just eat the toppings. Nom, nom, nom. I feel like I've seen that once where, like, I got a pizza with someone and then I watched them just scrape the top off onto a plate and eat it. And I was like,
ooh, wow. That is grotesque.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about dairy right now. Like, just eating a lot of cheese. I used to really like that. Now
I love cheese.
I don't know.
I especially love mozzarella cheese.
Mmm.
Yeah.
I do like goat cheese.
So tangy.
Yeah, yeah. But I do like fermented things and...
Did you see how Harriet had me try that yogurt ice cream bar on Instagram?
Mm-mm.
She was like, taste this and tell me what you think. And then she taped it. And I was like, it's bad. And she was shocked because she loves them.
I love it. I love a tangy, a fermented... Do you like kombucha?
Yeah.
Huh.
But this yogurt bar... Let me tell you what. So, like, it's trying to be like an ice cream candy bar, like a snack, like where you bite into the chocolate and there's ice cream inside.
Uh-huh.
But instead, it's yogurt.
Tangy yogurt.
It's yogurt that's been, it's been made into such a form that it is hard.
Uh-huh. Well, because it's frozen.
No, it's just cold. It's just refrigerated.
Oh, okay.
But the yogurt is such a way that it won't spill out of the chocolate shell, which means you're eating paste.
Mm-hmm.
It was yogurt paste.
Mm.
It doesn't, like, go into your mouth and then melt like ice cream down your throat.
Right, right.
It's just, like, you have to produce enough saliva to make it digestible. And that was hard for me.
Mm.
I mean, as you know, I don't drink a lot of water, so I probably don't produce
saliva. I know. We need to drink more water. Oh, you didn't... You never got to...
I just want
to
smell it.
So what are we... Well, what are we doing?
Oh. I have the P50 Biologique Recherche without the phenol. And Jack has the travel size with the phenol, and I wanted to smell it. And I'll do that on air. So this is the original formulation, 1970.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why you put it on your skin?
Wow.
Why don't you put it on your face right now? You just wasted like $5.
Wow. It smells.
Put it on your forehead.
It smells like something I know. What is that,
Jack? Salad dressing? Let me smell.
It's not good.
I know what it is.
What is it?
Chloraseptic.
It is!
It's chloraseptic.
It's literally chloraseptic. Why don't we just spray chloraseptic on our face? Because it's so much cheaper.
It's literally...
Can you believe it? Do they have clear chloraseptic? Because I would literally spray it on my face.
Well, it's phenol. That's the smell.
Maybe we should just get some phenol.
And just do it. I haven't done it. I did those 3 days and I was like, this is too much. And so I only did it for 3 days and I gave myself, I'm taking a break.
It is exactly chloraseptic.
Isn't that amazing?
Just get into it. Mark Junick's doing it too. He's into it.
Is he doing this one?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Is it looking like it's...
I haven't seen him. He just said it over text. It's great. He loves it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real... I mean, I read this...
I cannot believe the smell.
I read this article that this woman did where she went and met the guy who's the son of the... who now runs this. Mm-hmm. And he was like, stop using P50 1970. He yelled at her. He was like, you don't have enough lipids. It's stripping the lipids off your face.
Oh, I have so many lipids.
And I... You do?
Oh, I'm so oily.
Oh, I'm not.
I know you're not.
So I should probably switch to yours and you should switch to that.
Yeah. Except I'm almost done with mine.
Oh, well.
So that's not a great trade.
Do you feel like you were glad you did it and that it was worth it?
Yes. Yes, I've broken out from it, which I think is to be expected.
Uh-huh.
Because pimple. But it's minor.
Uh-huh.
And my nose is softer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's been okay.
Okay.
It hasn't been traumatic in any way. And I think, like, with time, fine lines would disappear.
And have you ever thought about just getting a script for Retin-A?
I had it when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's used now as adults to kind of resurface.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I most days I'm just like, there's no stopping this.
You know what I have to tell you? There isn't. And the only thing that can... is injectables and surgery.
And people with injectables and surgery look...
like they've had injectables crazy. And surgery.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and sometimes not. Sometimes they look like Nicole Kidman looks completely normal.
No, she doesn't.
I think when it calmed down on Big Love or Big Little Lies.
She does have moments of like almost looking normal and then like suddenly looking totally alien again.
Well, it has to, you know, take a moment. I cannot wait to see Judy...
Really?
I've gotten so excited about it. I really want to see it. Yeah.
Wow.
I do really want to see that.
Well, that was our pharmaceutical section of the pod.
Oh, that's right. Self-care. Self-care. I really think that I should write a book called Healing Chaotically.
Oh, my God.
Because I think I'll just go to this person, or maybe I'll just go to this person.
I'll try these
acupuncturists, and then I'll... go to, like, see these people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am in the market for a new acupuncturist.
Maggie Clark.
There you said it.
You pushed it. Well, I hope that was a fun episode for somebody. I had fun. We talked about dance. We talked about stuff.
We reviewed dance. I did a monologue.
We unfortunately, there were no guests today, but that's fine.
We were our own guests.
Peter Smith, who we... friend of the pod who we love and care about, was on Seek Treatment this week, and it was truly excruciating. It was the most brutal podcast interview I've ever heard.
They were brutal to them?
Pat Regan chose to basically not be there. He was on his phone the whole time, not just like checking a text, but playing video games on his iPhone during an interview with someone who's supposedly a friend. And I have to say, it really pushed me to a place where I'm like, do I need to listen to this podcast?
Well, from what you said before about the other podcast that I'm listening to, and when you had your breaking point with that, you know, I think like there's so much available. So we do get to choose what we give our attention to and what we feel like spending our energy on.
Right. Kat Cohen was doing all she could to keep that ship afloat. So I praise her. Mm-hmm. I appreciate her freedom with her feelings, her laughter, her tears. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid for Pat. I hope that he can find his soul.
I don't know these people. I know Peter and I love Peter so
Peter's
much.
Peter's wonderful.
And to get to spend any time with Peter is really a blessing. So
I deeply
appreciate them so much. And we should have Peter on again.
Absolutely. When we're both here. Because I wasn't there for the last interview.
That's right. All right. JoJo and Peter and... Oh, and a guest I won't say because we'll hopefully record on the 14th. And it'll be a surprise for people. All right.
We love you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we love you. Reed, I hope you have a great flight.
Thank you.